elite.
Oh, like if you put like 80,085 and it says boobs.
Hey everybody, this has been a 007 welcoming you to a Flashvok on Solo, a Star Wars story. What Flashvok means is that this is a hastily assembled small group of reviewers to give you their first impressions of the films, and it doesn't preclude a lengthier, longer review that may come out in forthcoming weeks once more of the community has actually seen the film. What we're going to do today is discuss the movie. We're going to have lots of spoilers, talk potentially about the expanded universe or otherwise, so if you haven't seen the film and want to keep yourself unsullied, please tune in once you have seen it. So today I am joined at very short notice by Vali.
Hey, what's up?
By Amber Rocks.
Hey, this is Amber.
Hey, Amber. And by Ty.
Yep. Hi, Enigmas on the forums.
Awesome, Bull. So thank you all for joining. Let's go around and give it our, what would we have instead of lemon cake ratings? Maybe, I don't know, what's a good Star Wars object that we can use?
What were they trying to get? I forget the name of the substance.
Oh.
Vials of...
Kilograms of...
Corellium?
No. Oh, bloody hell.
Epic. Hyperspace fuel vials.
Hyperspace, but it had a proper name, right? It was called something.
It did. Shocking lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
Like 1 minute in. I'm going to have to Google
How about stranded Wookiees on Kessel?
No, how about Lando's capes?
Okay.
Yes.
Lando's
custom-made
capes. Okay, Amber, how many of Lando's capes out of five do you give this?
I would give it 3 and maybe a capelet.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. It was kind of different for a Star Wars movie. But I would say of the newer ones, it's probably the one I like the least. But I thought it was fun.
Okay.
Needed more Lando.
Didn't need more Lando. Although I really liked the little girl who's launching a rebellion. I thought she was amazing. Enfys Nest. I kept thinking it was Memphis when I was watching the film. I was like, she needs a spin-off. Ty, how many capes do you give this?
Oh, well, I would give it 3.5 Lando capes. And really like that last cape that he was wearing at the end.
The kind of like the Acapulco shirt themed cape. And
I think it was the only one that didn't get burned up.
It was fantastic. I'm really glad you guys enjoyed it. Vali, what do you give this? How many capes out of 5?
Sorry, it's like super windy and the garbage is being picked up, so I'm trying to be muted and I was looking at something. So I'm going to give it like 4 and a collar of a cape. I liked it a lot better than The Last Jedi, but not as much as like Rogue One or The Force Awakens. But
That's a high star rating then. That's a high cape rating.
Yeah, I feel like the humor was spot on. It was still stupid kind of campy Star Wars humor, but it wasn't bad Last Jedi humor. The dialogue, I don't know. I think I was so set up to like hate the guy that played Han, like that I was just expecting the worst, and I was pleasantly surprised that he wasn't. And you know, I love Darth Khaleesi.
Love it. I think I'm probably at 2.5 capes, which sounds bad, but I think it's okay because I had zero expectations. And the only reason I saw it is because Amber made me. I was going to wait to watch it on streaming because I was so disappointed by Last Jedi. But to me, like, I would give the same amount of capes to Last Jedi, but it's different because in Last Jedi, there was stuff that I loved and stuff that I really hated. And it sort of averaged at 2.5. Whereas this, I just felt was like a solid 2.5. It's okay. It's not great. It's not terrible. Just all the way through. But on reflection, coming home from the cinema, I feel that some of the way in which the ending was done and some of the tying together they did was kind of pretty neat. But it just never really took off for me. So I'm pleased you guys really love it because it means there'll be a good debate and good discussion as we carry on through. So how about we start off with maybe the look of the film, kind of the production design and choices, the switch of director, then get into some of the character stuff and plot. And then wrap out with like where the Disney is taking the Star Wars universe and whether you want to see sequels and stuff. So any kind of feelings on the production design and, you know, the way they use the Falcon, the way they use the iconography, the score, all that kind of good stuff, costumes, the whole works.
I think it was very well put together. I agree with you, I commented on Facebook that like every scene needed a little more light because you just couldn't see everything that was happening in the full frame. It was still, you know, future gritty kind of world. I like that. And I liked how it was the Millennium Falcon before it became a hunk of junk. So everything was kind of like shiny and new until like halfway through the movie when Han destroys it.
Definitely. I loved the production design. I love the costumes. I just wish everything was a little bit brighter. And I feel like I'm turning into an old man when I say that. But there was someone in my screening who left about 10 minutes in, like just left the cinema. And I actually wondered if they were going to ask the projectionist to alter the color balance. And then everyone else I've spoken to said, yeah, they found it quite dark too. I mean, it's not like Godfather 2 dark, but it is. I just felt a lot of the acting got lost because I just couldn't see the faces of people. And I just wanted to really appreciate the costumes. I know that you don't want it like TV show shiny, shiny bright, but yeah, it was kind of dark, especially because I think the costumes are really awesome.
Yeah, and I found it most distracting in that first meeting Lando scene, where it's like that cool divey bar that you know there's like weirdo characters like hanging out in the background and you want to kind of absorb the entire atmosphere, but you really can't see anything really clearly besides like just Han and Lando.
Yeah, you know, they put so much work into the extras, costumes and the creatures, and I just feel I want to watch it on my home, like on Blu-ray at home, and then just really mess with the color balance.
Yeah.
And enjoy it, basically.
Turn the brightness up.
Do 1 second time skips and be like, ooh, look at that thing back there.
Look at that cool monster. Like,
yeah, I love the costumes, though. Like, Lando, obviously, is just, he's ace. He's dressed the nines. And, like that weird worm in the beginning, who was all decked out in shiny objects for some reason. Like, all right.
Yeah, and even, I mean, I loved Emilia Clarke. I think she looks really pretty with the dark hair, the kind of heavy fringe, the bangs, as you would call it in America, and the ponytail. I loved her being all regal at the end and taking command. And I even love the swagger on Paul Bettany as Dryden Voss. I mean, he had some swag. He had some capage and some kind of silky blouses.
He has that swagger. Like, I feel like I've seen him in the other stuff. Like, I've always liked him, like, in whatever he is in. And I feel like he does have that swagger. Like, I've listened to him on interviews on podcasts, like Nerdist and stuff like that. And he's just like a really fucking cool guy.
I think he's really smart. And then he married Jennifer Connelly. So I think if you get to marry one of the most beautiful women on the planet, you probably have some swag about you too. But yeah, the costumes were great. I love what they did with Lando's hair. I love what they did with Tandy Newton, seeing her with like a full-on power afro. That just made me happy. Everything about it. And even the way they styled Enfys Nest, I thought was really cool. She just looks totally badass. So yeah. Actually, I tell you what, the only bit of design I didn't really like was the design of the droid L337. Just felt a bit clumsy and weird to me. I don't know what you guys felt.
What was with her thighs?
Yeah, there was some
weird... Oh, she had childbearing hips.
Yeah, childbearing hips going on, man. Catelyn would have approved. Is it because like it's the first time we've had a female droid, and I was like, are you trying to make some point about how she's like a bit roomy through the thighs?
I had a friend who really, really thought that they were going for the like angry black, female trope. And I didn't really get that. I think just because of the accent threw me off because I kept thinking it was Phasma. But... the thighs were weird.
Yeah. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who is the English actress who plays her, does sound a lot like Phasma.
Although I loved her character. I thought that was so much fun. She was like starting a droid rebellion on Kessel. Just like, okay, let's do this.
The best way on that is like, do you want anything? She's like, equal rights.
Yes.
There were so many of her lines that I knew were meant to be funny. And I know she's known as a comedian in England. And I just, there was something about it just didn't work for me. And they were trying to make the Lando L3 stuff a thing. Maybe as a prequel to sort of her relationship with Lobot. And like the death of L3 was meant to be very moving. I was like, she just came off as really, to me, whiny, and that relationship for me didn't work. So, and I think that therefore I didn't find this a funny film. Like, it was almost, I could tell there were funny one-liners and they just weren't hitting it for me, apart from when it was Woody Harrelson. And I think that's maybe where my 2.5, not a 3.5, which is silly.
I feel like she's just a female version of K2. Like, I don't feel like their humor or their dialogue or their, you know, kind of demeanor was that much different from each other.
Very Marvin like the Paranoid it's... Android, right? Like, oh, I've got pain in the diode up my left.
Yeah, anxiety.
Definitely. I feel like that what you were saying, like she's a bit whiny or whatever. And she ends up in the Falcon's computer. That is perfect for where she's at. I mean,
yeah,
giving her
grumpy
attitude,
droid.
It's kind of like temperamental, a little bit like not sure if I want to kind of thing. Feels like that's kind of perfect for the Falcon and its temperament later on.
That's true,
later,
actually.
I think
that's
in Empire.
Point.
Yeah, in Empire, they it even says like C-3PO is trying to talk to the Falcon's computer and he's like, I don't know where your computer learned to communicate because it's like three different voices talking at once. So.
Yeah, but I did. I mean, I always like a good droid. I loved K2. I thought that was just making me laugh with the deadpan humor, and this just didn't somehow. Maybe I think it's just the combo with Lando. It just didn't really work for me, but it is what it is. I'm sure Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who until then is completely basically unknown even in England, will now be hugely famous. So that's kind of cool for her, I guess. And I did like the slavery theme. I felt the slavery theme built in really nicely with Chewie, because obviously the Wookiees are enslaved if you read the expanded universe.
I didn't know that either. And I think I was under the impression that he became super loyal to Han because he had some kind of life debt to him, and I think that came from an earlier expanded universe.
Well, you might still get it, right? Because Alden Ehrenreich, who plays Han Solo in this, has been contracted for 3 movies. And the fact that Kira survives, I think, makes me think that if this makes any money, we'll have 3. So you might still get the life debt. But there is a book in the new expanded universe that takes place between Jedi and Force Awakens, where Chewie and Han, shortly after Jedi, go back and try and release all the enslaved Wookiees on Kashyyyk. So I think,
it's the Aftermath series.
Yeah, the Aftermath series, which is really good reading, actually, people. So you should check that out. So the life debt must be something different, but maybe it's just helping him bust off of slavery on that mudbound planet we see them at the start of. Never know.
Yeah, but I mean, he couldn't have done that without Chewie. Like, I feel like what I read was
Chewie
like,
wouldn't have escaped Han without Han, though, right?
Saved his bacon. But,
yeah,
like,
but Chewie wouldn't have gotten off that planet being called the Beast and chained up if it weren't for Han.
Yeah.
No one else is busting Chewie out. They're just scared
I was thinking, like, Chewie in every scene was just like the guy who had to carry things. And I mean literally and physically.
Yeah.
Like, he had to carry everything.
At the end of the scene, I'm like, oh God, how long has he been carrying all those canisters up and down the mountain?
I know. It was like he goes up the sands, he goes down the sand dune, he goes back up the sand dune.
I felt bad for the actor because it looked like those things had some heft to him too. And he's got to wear this fairy suit too.
Okay, the first time when he's with Woody Harrelson's character is like, fair enough, he carries both suitcases. Like the second time when he's with Han, like, Han, you don't want to like help him out with one of the suitcases.
We saw how heavy they were, right? So just can't
Chewbacca.
Do it.
I love Chewie. I actually thought that was a relationship that worked well, like Han and Chewie. That was
before
cute.
That though, it was like Chewie unleashed. Like, we see him like rip off a fucking guy's arms. Like, obviously he just ate a dude like when he was in the pit earlier. Like, he was badass.
Yeah, Chewie's always been badass, though. I feel like we've only ever seen. Like, but he was really polite when, like, he didn't immediately take the co-pilot seat. He was like, go on, little girl, you sit there. Okay, you're fucking useless. Let me now show you how
it is. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. And when he rips off the arms, too, he's like, and Han is like, oh, well, that was the uniform that would have fit me perfectly. But, I mean, good for you.
Exactly. Is there anything else we want to say on production design, though? I guess we don't get any new ships, although we get a very nice shiny Millennium Falcon. What did you think of the way they staged the big space flight scenes, because I guess that's kind of a big deal with the Falcon?
Actually, one last thing on design, I really enjoyed looking at Corellia, and I don't know how they like it. I was like, that's the radar dome for like a Star Destroyer. Like, they just little things in the background, it's like, oh, this is how these huge Star Destroyers were, like, you know, constructed. But somehow they managed to pick up like whatever little thing was able to catch your eye. You're like, that's a bridge component, I know that. Like, it's just nonsense background stuff. It was very cool.
Actually, yeah, any thoughts on the score? Apparently there's a new Han Solo theme, but I kind of didn't pick up on that. The score.
Oh, yeah, it just sounds like a bastardization of the Star Wars theme.
Yeah, maybe I need to listen to it again.
I would give it a meh.
Yeah, it's by a guy called John Powell, who previously did Jason Bourne.
Mm-hmm. But John Williams actually wrote for Han, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, so he did the theme.
He did the theme, right. Yeah, that's my understanding.
Okay, I need to listen
to that. Jesus Christ. I thought that guy was retired. Isn't he like 85?
Yep, he's old. But he's still like one of the best. And the director of cinematography is Bradford Young, a cinematographer, African-American, which is cool. Not many of those around. He previously did Arrival, which was awesome.
Oh, Arrival was a great movie too.
A most violent year.
You know what? Arrival was really dark too.
And he did Selma. Selma wasn't dark. Selma was beautifully sepia tinted, warm colors, and you could definitely feel the faces and see the faces.
I never saw Selma.
Selma's, oh, it's an amazing film.
Yeah, Arrival was really dark, just like this was really dark. Like, yeah. Hard to see what's going on.
They went for it. I wonder how much of that is him and how much is Ron Howard. Because I read this article about how the original directors were taken off because they were moving too far away in tone. And I thought, is it tone as in comedic tone or is it tone as in visual tone?
I think, who was it? Lord and Miller, who did 21 Jump Street and stuff like that?
Yeah, so maybe it,
so
was
it might
too
have been towards comedy.
Yeah, but then, you know, Last Jedi played a lot of stuff for laughs, especially with Luke Skywalker, which...
Yeah, to his detriment.
Definitely to his detriment, right? So...
Like the humor here was a little more adult and towards like the sexual side, especially with Lando, obviously. But it, I wonder if they just went a little too far. Like, yeah. And Disney was like, we can't actually have dick jokes in our movies.
But also, it's like where you put the humor, right? Like, so maybe when you have Luke Skywalker in post-traumatic stress refusing to train someone, that's not one to have stupid ass like sucking on a teat of a moon cow comedy. Maybe it is with a character like Woody Harrelson where we kind of expect it. It's kind of like the attitude he brings to his characters. It's less jarring, you know? It's the humor. Like, we expect Donald Glover as Lando to be funny. So, okay, let's get into plot and characters then, maybe. So let's start off with, you know, this poor guy, Alden Ehrenreich. How do you think he did as Han? I mean, that's the big question, right? Can anyone be Han? Did you guys like him?
I did. I did like him. It did take a while to get warmed up to. And I don't feel that he was playing Harrison Ford young. I feel like he was playing Han Solo young, if that makes any
sense.
Which
is good.
That he was more...
Which is good. That's what you want.
Yes, exactly. And whereas I think maybe Lando was more along the lines of a Billy Dee Williams impersonation, which
yes.
really worked. But it was different for sure.
The way he said baby, that was so Billy Dee Williams. It's so on the nose.
Yeah.
I was pleasant. Surprised because I'd read an article that Alden Ehrenreich had an acting coach on set. This is before the directors were fired, and I was like,
I heard
oh.
that too.
It's like, oh mm-hmm. shit, if they have to cut around yeah. Han, that's gonna be bad. But I really liked him. I thought he was cheeky, he was young, he was enthusiastic, you know. I mean, I really like him. I loved him in Hail Caesar, so it's its own thing, right? It's not Harrison Ford, but I can go with it.
Well, the thing is, like, I think they probably, Jesus Christ, all this background noise. I think he was like so much better. Maybe it was like, we're not sure about this kid that's having an acting coach, because he was just so much better than like Hayden Christensen. And maybe they're just like, we didn't have an acting coach on set for this guy. And that really, really was bad.
Like, in defense of Hayden Christensen, I always felt like he gets a bum rap, not because he was a particularly good actor, but because I think what he was directed to do was act as a, if we put a voice modulator on you, we want you to sound like Darth Vader. That's understand might be some explanation as to why he sounded a little like static.
I also think for all the people in those prequels, A, it's George Lucas's dialogue, which is very wooden, and B, they were never given whole scripts, they were just given individual pages because of secrecy issues, and I think it's much harder to act character when you can't see the arc you're acting within. Ewan McGregor was very open about that. He said it was really hard to sort of get in character, so...
You end up being Darth Vader. There's your arc. You end up being Luke, like, you know what they end up being. It's in, you know, A New Hope. It's in the original trilogy.
I know. Wait.
Anyway,
okay, and then Han and Chewie as a couple. You'll like that?
Han and Chewie.
Yeah. I like that.
Peanut butter and jelly.
They were cool. And then I guess what did you all think of? We'll do Kira kind of towards the end because that's a big plot twist. But the whole kind of Beckett and Val Tandy Newton as these sort of, I don't know. I love the way they're introduced as Imperial troopers, but they're not in this sort of like World War One trench. I thought that was really well shot, actually. That was the one scene I thought was visually quite cool.
Well, I was surprised about how much I cared about was it Rio or whatever, the original pilot.
I know,
Val.
That was
and then
so
I was like, they both went down. I'm like, oh no.
Voiced by Jon Favreau. I was trying to place the voice in Kidder, but yeah. Rio was so cute with all the little hands.
Yeah, I love that scene with it when they're on that mudball planet. I'm forgetting the name right now, but God, I wanted to stay there and be like, wait, what happens? Let's see. Of course, I think it's pretty obvious. Like, I think the Empire just wins. But yeah.
I love the Rio guy. I thought it was kind of funny because he, you know, he kind of reminded me of Maz Kanata, and he was talking about maybe I'll open a bar or something.
Yeah,
it was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. At first, I was like, is this the owner of the Mos Eisley Cantina? Like, doesn't he say, I want to open a bar on Mos Eisley?
Yeah, I was like, is that the guy? But, I mean, evidently, alas, poor Rio, it wasn't him. Did you guys like Val, Tandy Newton's Val? Did you feel sad when she died? Did you feel that the film gave that grief enough space?
I feel like she killed herself awfully quick.
Yeah. She kind of threw in the towel quick. She's like, oh, I'm under fire. Better blow myself up. I'm like, all right.
But she was awesome. She was totally awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I love Woody Harrelson, but I was sad that she left. Maybe with Westworld, she couldn't take longer shooting days or something. But I was like really super sad. And my key takeaway from this film, seeing her shoot a gun, is that she should be the next James Bond. Like, everyone always talks about Idris Elba. Like, let's have a black Bond, but why not have a black woman Bond? Jane Bond. She'd be amazing.
Oh my God, the fucking internet would lose their shit.
Yeah. I would actually watch Bond movies again. I like that.
Okay, Bina 007, all right.
Yeah. I really like that crew, actually, and I definitely did not get the twist that the other... Like, I was totally bought into the fact that the pirates, the marauders, were the bad guys, and, you know, that was all very cool, like the mountain chase. I liked all that.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just thinking, like, the only person who really had their was true to what they said that they were actually after was Han, and to some extent Chewie, right? Because everyone else was engaged in some form of betrayal at some point in the movie, and it's like the only up and up character was Han, right?
Yeah, Han and Chewie are the good guys.
I feel like Val was trying to set up this, like, maybe it's like just the initial misdirection of the entire film, that there is like this honor amongst thieves and stuff like that, and like once you find your, like, that whole talk about family or tribe, what's the difference? It's like, you know, once you have your group, like, you stick with them, you may be all bad guys, but you're all bad guys together.
He is the Benicio del Toro character from Rogue, not Rogue One, from The Last Jedi, isn't he? He's like the rogue that you think secretly good, but he's not. He's secretly just a rogue. But I think they could have done more in the script to say that once his wife has died, like, that, you know, he kind of throws in the moral towel and thinks, I just want to survive with my money. Like, he becomes harder. They could have made him more, they could have, if they wanted to, made him a guy who experiences this awful loss and then becomes more cynical. I think would have been more believable just than, I guess, he was just after himself the whole time. I don't know.
Yeah. I think Woody Harrelson still did a great job in this.
Oh, yeah, to me, he was the levity that worked. He was really funny. He has swagger. Like, when he's teaching Chewie to play chess and, like, think very carefully. You want to make that move? Do you really want to make that move? Oh, he made that move.
Oh, and speaking of that, right, that is the same move that he gets pissed off at R2 for later.
Really?
It's apparently that Chewie does not think moves ahead. That's kind of the communication there, I feel like.
And why is that? Hilarious. Because he can rip people's arms out of their sockets, which we saw.
Yes, finally got to see that. Apparently that was actually in The Force Awakens. Onkar Plutt, the guy who had the Falcon, there was a scene filmed where, Simon Pegg was in that costume, I suppose, where they... Yeah, the big fat guy on Jakku. And apparently there was a scene filmed where he did rip the guy's arms out of his sockets, but cool. It was reshot in such a way that Chewie was with Han and they were on that freighter or whatever. But so that was there, but we got it here at least. So
I fucking love Chewie.
Yeah, I mean, Chewie's getting old. A little long in the tooth. Can't be ripping arms out of sockets.
Yeah.
Pre-trilogy, you can.
And Chewie just going back in for all the slaves like a Don. I just love Chewie. He's just a good guy. I want Chewie to have in some way gotten married and had baby Chewies.
Well, he does in the Christmas special. Remember you made me watch that? Abomination?
Don't make me vomit. Don't make me vomit, man.
Allah, or... Yeah, yeah. Oh, God.
So, okay, can we talk about Chewie for a second? His timeline is Order 66 is executed. He shoots Yoda off to Dagobah? No, to... continues fighting the droids for like 2 seconds and then has to fight the Imperial guys and then somehow gets captured and put in a cage.
Say
what
now?
That's his timeline.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Problems? Any problems? No? Excellent. Okay. Let us move to... so we've done that rogue crew, which I think works really nicely. And then we get the kind of... the Lando and L3 characters, so I guess we're all on board with them. Did L3, did any of you find her genuinely funny? Is it just me?
I found her funny. Like, her little quips. Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought they were, like, okay, over the top, or a little over the top character.
I liked it thematically.
Well, she's L337, like it's spelled out in Leet speak. That's Leet, right? So.
Huh? What? Huh? No? What? Sorry, who? What?
What did you just say?
L337, if you spell it out in Leet speak, which is like kind of this mid-90s way of communicating that everyone
that
would find very annoying.
Calculator? I'm old, Ty. Yeah. I'm old. I don't know how this works.
Okay, well, that would be kind of how you'd talk if you are you use threes for E's and seven is a T. So she spells out Leet, like elite.
Oh, like if you put like 80,085 and it says boobs.
Yeah, it looks exactly that. It's exactly that. But yeah, it's a nod to kind of mid-90s. I don't know, like a lot of like Counter-Strike 1.6 kind of speaking. It's like I said, very cringy today, but that was the way you talked if you're quote unquote cool back then.
What does elite mean though?
It's short for elite, which you know they have the E right there, so I don't know why they didn't use it, but that's how you do it. But anyway,
well,
side note.
I really liked her. I was sad when she died.
Yeah.
I was sad
when
she died.
I think she kind of was like a cross between R2, like an elongated R2 mixed with a KA2.
It's just the hips threw her off yeah. Practically. But I love the storyline. I loved her freeing everyone and being all feminist. And then like when she's like, yeah, I'm, you know, I could be into Lando. And Khaleesi's like, how does that work? Oh, it works.
It works.
Because Lando is just so damn sexy, he can get it on with a robot.
Yeah.
Well, that Khaleesi's actually interested. She's like, wait a minute, how does that work?
Yeah, she's like, wait a minute.
So interestingly, for the vast majority of this movie, the Empire really isn't the big bad. I mean, yeah, there are some stormtroopers here and there, and the sight of the Star Destroyer, but really it's mostly Dryden Voss as the big bad. So how did you guys find him and his weird vertical yacht and his relationship with Kira?
Yeah.
The relationship with Kira, they kept saying things like, you don't know what she's done. I was like, what the hell have you been up to, Kira? Jesus, like, it's been 3 years. You're a totally different person.
Just shagged her boss, apparently, right? I mean, nothing that horrific. And learned some kung fu.
Sam seems to be like, that's it. But yeah.
She shagged her boss and learned kung fu. I mean, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, she's being mentored by Darth Maul somehow. Like,
yes,
she got
somehow
into some shit.
I like some that as a plot twist. I just think she should have died because I don't want a trilogy, but I loved the idea that she was then going to take power. I really love Paul Bettany to Dryden Voss. I think he was... I think the new series baddies are often more compelling than the goodies because I really like the baddie in Rogue One as well. Good actors, good evil-looking white male actors they're going for because we're politically correct, but not quite politically
some emotional,
correct.
Yeah, not quite physically.
I just feel it's kind of funny that like we're trying to get all like diverse, but the baddies are all still white British accented men like back in the day. With Die Hard. Yeah, exactly.
Gotta be.
So maybe like I'm just confused on the timeline, but like the non-scroll kind of like epilogue or prologue thing, it made it seem like the Empire really wasn't in control yet, but was. I was a little confused about how all these crime syndicates were still running, but kind of working with the Empire rather than trying to work around them. Like that.
Well, I mean,
like
this is pre-Rogue One. This is pre-original trilogy.
Well, I don't even remember in the book Catastrophe. What is that? No, Catalyst. The one about young Erso. I don't remember like the crime syndicates, but like the Empire basically had control and were looking to maintain and gain control still. And this seemed like still very early days.
Yeah, at this point, it seemed that they were working with the powers that be a little more so than they were outright like destroying them. For example, like there's an Imperial presence on Tatooine in episode 4, obviously, but there's still the Hutts. They're still around, you know, right. So.
But I thought that they're making money because they're getting contraband past the Imperial taxes and just smuggling like that.
I mean, I think
rather than
isn't it at this point you've got the Republic happening, you've got the Separatists, you've got if you sort of follow Rebels in the Clone Wars series, you've got Darth Maul he's leader of the Shadow Collective, which is an alliance of criminal organizations. So that would include Crimson Tide or whatever this one's called, which
Crimson
sounds like
Dawn.
It just sounds like an 80s movie starring Denzel Washington on a submarine with Gene Hackman at the height of the Cold War.
Movie,
fucking love that movie.
very young James Gandolfini's in there.
There is a very young James Gandolfini. It really is Denzel Washington at the height of his gorgeousness, though. just makes me lose it. But anyway, but Darth Maul was always involved with criminal gangs, and I think the Star Wars expanded universe has always, even at the height of the power of the Empire, they could never be in total control of everything, and did used to use shadowy evil gangs to sort of they would ally and then slowly take over or let them operate in exchange for certain things. So I think that's very much in keeping with like the vibe of the Star Wars universe. I love the fact that Darth Maul was alive there, and I wasn't spoiled for it, so that was kind of like a really cool, I felt like a nice bit of writing that tied into like Rebels and Clone Wars. I really appreciated that.
I wonder if they don't keep crime syndicates around for the kind of outlet for these kind of rebellious people to kind of have. They can go and join this crime syndicate if they don't want to outright join the Empire. And I'm sure that the Empire in some ways, because I saw on the yacht in the first scene that we actually get there and are reintroduced to Kira, that there was like an Imperial Admiral or whatever just strolling around in there too. So it seems like there's some crossover there. And it just seemed like, if you don't want to join the Empire, here's this other avenue. You can get this, you know, this out, or, you know, your angst or whatever. But it's like, yeah,
didn't Bethany just kill a regional governor the first time we see him?
Yeah. But again, that could be doing enforcement. If that regional governor was outside of Empire control, then maybe that's useful too. But, you know, Darth Maul, I've always found, like, in the prequels, partly because the prequels are so rubbish, I always thought of him as, like, a cartoony villain. Just he was all about the face paint and design and didn't really have much to him. But I feel that since then, in the expanded universe, he's become a really fascinating character. And I'd love to see, like, an overarching film about him, bizarrely, because I just think, you know, you survive being axed by Kenobi. You kind of create your own legs out of trash. You sort of crawl your way up to power with this alliance with master criminals and turn against Darth Sidious because he abandons you. I mean, I just think it's a really fascinating kind of internal Empire Civil War story, which I think it's nice to have that hinted at. And I hope if there is going to be another two Solo movies that we see more of that, it'd be cool.
Yeah, guys, Kenobi sucks at killing bad guys.
I know, man. He's just, like, terrible.
Darth Maul and Anakin, like, he's like, yeah, they're probably dead.
I mean, you could argue that Kenobi and Luke are the worst Jedi of all because they always fail.
Well, I mean, if we're going full spoilers, right? We are.
Yeah.
There is a scene, you know, in Rebels where Maul tries to come and attack Luke or whatever, and Obi-Wan's like, no, I'm here. And there's like a 3-second long duel. He just wins again. And then there's like this big controversial thing where Maul asks Obi-Wan, oh, is he the chosen one? He's like, yes, he is. Speaking of Luke, I'm like, oh, wait, what? He is?
Wait a minute. But, Rebels?
Yeah.
Yeah, in Rebels. Yeah.
How did Obi-Wan know Luke before?
Well, he's guarding him on Tatooine. He's still got those white Ewan McGregor. He's got his white.
Oh, is that what the Kenobi movie's going to be then? That's what the Kenobi movie's going to be, right? Him fighting Darth Maul away from Luke.
Maybe.
But there's not a lot to that scene. I mean, it's pretty much like Maul wants to get at Luke, and Obi-Wan's like, nope, and kills him pretty quick.
Maybe the Kenobi prequel. Maybe it'll be just totally what he did before we even meet him in the prequels, like how he became a Jedi.
Oh, I thought it was supposed to be what he's up to at Tatooine, because Ewan McGregor's scheduled to play him.
Well, he's doing not much on Tatooine. He's just like skulking around like a monk, isn't he? Like having tiffs.
I mean, he's got to do something. He can't just be sitting around polishing his saber all the time.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Oh, dear. Okay, cool. So we like Lando, we like L3, we like Dryden Voss. I think the only other character to really discuss is Emphis Nest. And did you guys think it was a bit too on the nose that Han Solo basically ends up funding the start of the rebellion?
Well, I think that there are already factions developing. I think she's just another one was added to that. I feel like in Rogue One, there is a good, I don't know, an amalgamation of different rebellious characters who wanted and didn't want to participate in a certain war that happens over Scarif. Scarif. So maybe, but I don't think that he outright started the rebellion. I think that was there already with Jimmy Smith's character and Mon Mothma and stuff. So
yeah, because even the rebellion, the proper one, was like, oh, Saw Gerrera is a fucking lunatic. Like we didn't, but they're both working against the Empire.
Oh, so
I'm sure there's, you know, little factions all over the place that are like, you know, fighting for basically the same thing, but they don't want to go back to the New Republic for whatever reason, or the Old Republic, because maybe, you know, maybe they're part of like the separatists that felt like, you know, ostracized by the Republic and felt underrepresented. So maybe, I don't know.
Anyway, if we're handing out Star Wars movies like Smarties to new directors, I want an Enfys Nest prequel, please, and Enfys Nest follow-up, starring this actress, because I think she's got a really amazing look, and I think her screen presence is fantastic. Ty?
I'd like to say that she is Rey's mom. I'm calling it right now.
I was just going to ask Ty, is Enfys, this is the question I posed to Amber and Matt before, is Enfys Nest A, Valen Tobias's daughter, B, Rey's mom, C, both, D, neither?
Neither. And there's just no way that, because wasn't there a time when she takes off her helmet in front of Beckett?
Yep.
Or had he already left? But I feel like he would have recognized her.
Well, maybe he didn't know he had a daughter.
I mean, just goes possible, on and but then on also about her mom. How would Beckett's girlfriend have gotten pregnant and then had a baby and then just never paid attention?
Do people love each other very much? The man.
No, but I mean, they're together on a ship, right? Like they.
And maybe it's coincidence. She just looked very much like the daughter that Tandy Newton and Woody Harrelson might have. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful biracial girl.
That's what I thought. Oh, just the second that she took off the mask, I was like, oh my god. That's their daughter, but then it doesn't actually make sense.
It would have been so awesome though if she'd come to make a sort of like ethical moral sort of reckoning of her dad, who's turned dark since the mother's death. But yeah, it doesn't make sense if she's been trying to nick their you know, vibranium or whatever shit we're calling it now in the early scenes.
Yeah, they're doubling down on the hyperspace fuel thing, which I was like, oh man. But,
it's like portions, right? We never heard about portions until The Force Awakens, now that everyone has to mention portions. Did you guys think that she could be Rey's mom, though?
I do.
Why would she not be Rey's mom? I'm like, I need Rey to have parenting that's cool. Parentage is...
The age works.
Or do you want Rey to just be no
one? Mom just abandoned her on Jakku and sold her to slaves for some reason. And I don't think that the amount that you'd get from like a little girl's slave, God, I hope not, but it would be enough to fund a rebellion. So it's like, why would you do that? I don't know. This doesn't seem quite in character, but
if you believe that story.
You know what? Hold on. I got this. You know how Kira says, you know, you have to find the person's biggest weakness and go after it? Maybe like she was trying to go after that rebellious group for the Darth Maul, and she knew, and the rebel girl, what's her name? Something Sith, not Sith. Freckles. I'm gonna call her Freckles. Freckles knew that they'd go after her daughter if they knew
and
that she had one, and you know, kind of hid her on Jakku under a certain arrangement that didn't actually, you know, mean that she'd end up as a slave, but something went awry, and we got Rey.
When I first saw her on the train battle, I thought, oh, here's Kira. She's been all, you know, messed up from the whatever happened back on Corellia. And here she is. She's back and we're going to have a full reveal.
That would have been so cool. Yeah, that would have been emotionally really hefty as well.
I mean, they like messing characters up so much so that they have to like wear this power armor or whatever. But no, it didn't turn out to be the case. But I thought, geez, that's maybe a missed opportunity there. But
okie dokie. So anything else that we haven't talked about or stuff that was really cool you want to spend some more time on or thoughts?
Okay, one of my favorites was the whole Lando calling him Han thing.
Oh, it's Han.
He's like, oh, my name's Han. And he kept calling him Han. Han! There's still time to chase the Han.
There's a lot of little stuff. I mean, I thought they overdid a bit of the dice thing just because we've last seen Luke give those delay and that was super emotional that we had to have dice everywhere. But I did like, you know, like when they first meet in the original movies and there's that weird kind of awkward hug, is he going to go for him? And like with the final scene with Han taking the card out of Lando's card sharp thing. Like there were little subtle tie-ins to previous movies in EU, which I thought were really nice in this film and gave it some depth.
I love the Empire recruitment video playing at the checkpoint on Corellia.
Oh yeah. And it was playing the Imperial March, if you didn't catch that. It's in-universe music now. So that's cool.
And I'm pretty sure they used just like the same thing as like Starship Troopers used. It's like, come on, join the Empire and go kill some rebels.
See the world.
Willow was in it again.
Actually, yeah, they had, that was a nice throwback as one of the original rebels. They had Kieran Shaw in there as well. He's another talented actor who often does proportionate size work. Yeah, no, it was a good crew. I want to see more about that crew. I want a TV show about that crew. That'd be called The Marauders. That would be fun.
Hey, they're handing out shows like Tic Tacs, like you said, and just, you know.
Yeah, make it happen. I'm sure Amazon's got a spare billion it can throw at that.
No, they're going to spend it on Lord of the Rings.
This is true.
And The Expanse.
Any other scenes people want to call out, or any other stuff people want to call out, or should we move to the wider universe?
Yes. Well, there's the Cthulhu scene, right? Where they're going through the Maw and there's like a gravity well and there's all this crazy stuff going on in there. I was like,
what were they saying? Maw? Mom? Maw?
MAW. It's like the Maw, like an
The
open
Maw.
Yeah, I
Okay,
had no
like.
fucking idea what was going on there either. It was cool though. It was cool.
I think maybe that
Yeah.
was kind of the idea. It's like this is some psychedelic, like crazy. We're off the charts here in like this crazy, I don't know, what do they call it? Like,
Gravity well. I
gravity
wonder.
wells and all this other stuff.
I was like, Neil deGrasse Tyson's gonna bitch about this.
He's gonna blow it. But yeah, and then as soon as he gets off, he just gets off the ship and he's like, oh, I just made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. And Chewie's like, not really. And he's
He's
like,
like,
it
yeah,
is
you
if you
round
come
down.
down.
Actually, one of the best kind of meta things is when they're trying to get out away from the Maw and the black hole, and he's like, okay, you need to like drop in a like little amount of that hyperfuel and we'll be able to punch it out of here. And they punch it and then nothing happens. You're like, oh, it's another one where the Falcon's gonna just be shit like Empire. Yeah. But no, she makes it. But I thought that was brilliant because it really plays with our collective knowledge of what the Falcon is, so it totally suckers us into believing it. Loved it.
It's like the Falcon should work perfectly right now, and it more or less did, right? And then it's just like in pieces and tatters, and is barely able to take off, which is. So I'm wondering why Lando just left. He's like, I'm gonna stay on my ship, and you're gonna give me my portion. And at some point, he was just like, never mind, and just flew away.
Well, I think
He's
when he
like,
sees all
oh,
the
booty call.
marauders out of the window and just thinks, fuck this shit. This doesn't end well.
Oh, that's probably it. Yeah, he probably saw him all gathered up. He's like, oh, this was too big a score. I better just bug out.
Pausing
I'm
out,
saying he
yeah.
got a booty call.
Which is his character too, so.
It's actually funny, like in talking about this with you, I'm realizing I probably enjoyed it more than I did. Maybe I'll give this another watch. Not in theaters, I'll wait for
Do
streaming.
it,
Yeah.
do it,
Do it.
do
I just
it.
thought
More
like
money
none
to
of
Lucasfilm.
the yeah, I just didn't think that the space battles were exhilarating enough for me. Maybe I just need to watch it and like get the humor more, like be in a different mood maybe. Are you guys excited for potentially two more of these solo films?
Two seems like a lot. I like
I
this.
want. I really got my appetite wet for the Lando movie. I mean, I want a Lando movie now.
A Lando
They should
movie's
have
not
done a
been
Rancor
announced, though,
movie.
has it?
Kind of. Kathleen Kennedy, I think, was talking to a French newspaper or a magazine and said that she really is interested. And Glover has already mentioned that he would be interested in passing.
Oh, cool.
So,
Okay.
yeah. So, I mean, it's nothing confirmed. It's kind of like Ewan McGregor says, "I'm interested in Kenobi," and Disney's like, "That'd be cool, but how much?" It's like $3 billion. Like, oh, well, about that.
Well, yeah, well, Glover, I mean, he already said he's retiring Childish Gambino, so like maybe he can have some open time.
I think he's just retiring the childish part. He's like 31 now, so he still is gonna make music.
So he's just Gambino now?
I guess. I don't know whether he'll change it. Like Snoop Dogg goes through iterations, right? Where he's like,
It's like Lil Bow Wow and Bow Wow now. They're just not the same.
okay. Yeah, but I mean, okay, I will see any movie that they come out with, but as to whether or not it was needed or necessary, I think I wrote in one of the chats that it didn't feel like it was necessary to the canon at all. But this was the first Star Wars movie in a long time ever that has not had the fate of the galaxy riding on the balance.
Right.
Rogue One did,
Oh, that's
all
true.
the main films did. This is just a heist, and
Yeah.
that was kind of refreshing.
Yeah, and it's nice, like no Skywalker, no, not much Empire. It was just fun. It genuinely was just a Star Wars story, a story in the universe, which
Yeah.
I kind of liked it. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so I'm game for more of that. That we don't have to, the galaxy lives or dies based on the outcome of this lightsaber
Right.
fight. Like, okay.
Like good will triumph over evil or not, like that all hangs in the balance. It's like, now we just gotta steal this stuff to save our skins or not.
Yeah, that's kind of a nice way to end it. Kind of faintly positive. So if people shouldn't be listening to this, if they haven't watched it, but you guys would say go see it. Go see it in the cinemas or watch it on streaming.
And if you didn't like it the first time, watch it again because I think we changed Bino's mind here.
Kind of, I think I'll watch it again. I'm not going to watch it again at the cinema because I just don't think it's cinema. It's just too fucking dark. I'm going to watch it on TV at home, make it brighter because I'm an old woman, and have a drink because I watched a matinee showing. out of work. So just maybe watch it like evening DVD and dinner night and see if I'm more in the mood for it. But yeah.
And for what it's worth, I did not have that that reaction where it was too dark. Maybe a different cinema. I'm not, you know. Sure,
yeah, I mean, I was wondering about that, but then I asked a friend of mine called Dave Thomas, who is like
founder of Wendy's. Yes.
No, he's like this massive. He's like a total cinema nerd. He's really involved with the British Film Institute, and he like knows projection, knows kind of the technical side of 4K projection. And I said, "What did you think?" He said, "Yeah, it was definitely shot deliberately to be murky. That was the style of it. It wasn't." So I said, "Do you think it was just my cinema that was off?" And a couple of people who I've spoken to said, "No, this is how it's meant to look." So I think it's just your tolerance for it, as you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there are times when I watch Godfather 2, which is probably one of the best photographed films ever, and I'm like, fucking hell, turn up the brightness. But there we go. That was all very positive and cheerful, guys. Thank you very much for joining. I look forward to hearing the wider community chime in as they watch the movie. For me, this is definitely above The Last Jedi. It's below Rogue One, but it's okay. It's doing okay.
I agree. And I think you should give it another watch and then
I will do.
Come on and apologize to all the people for giving it a 2.5.
You know what? I enjoy talking about it with you guys so much. I'm going to bump it up to a 3. 3 Lando capes. But one of those 3 Lando capes is definitely only if one of those Lando capes includes the Acapulco shirt and cape from the end, because that was very special. The ladies can go for that. I feel.
No, that's my favorite cape. What are you doing? It's custom made.
That's hilarious. And even when she's just trying one on, I was like, wouldn't you want to try on a cape?
The one he wears at Cloud City.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Oh, the baby blue one with the yellow?
With a little gold lining on the color.
That was fly. Yeah. I always used to think, for any of you Brits listening, who used to watch Red Dwarf, which was like a low-budget British sci-fi spoofy comedy thing, and there's a character in there called Cat, played by Danny John-Jules. I always used to think his fly was very much a mix of basically Lando and Prince. Prince Purple Rain era mashed with Lando, mashed with a cat. That is that character. Okay, well, with that, posse out. Hopefully you guys all watch this movie and love it, enjoy it, and discuss it and have fun with it. And stay tuned for all things VOC on Twitter, iTunes, WordPress, all the kit and caboodle. Check out Vassals of Kingsgrave or VOK Podcast, and join in the conversation on the forums at podcastoficeandfire.com. Bye.
Talk to you later, baby.
Bye, guys.